Okay, I think we can begin.
Can I ask you something from last week?
Sure.
What does the Rambam mean when he say "Velo patru mina truma v'hamaisrus"?
Say again?
"Velo patru mina truma v'hamaisrus kadesh sheyisruchu aleim aniyim b'shvis."
Right.
Why are they patru from?
Meaning on, during Shemitah.
Because
Shemitah has the equivalent status of Hefker. There's no chiyuv truma semaiser semaiser on the leket shikha upeya.
But it's below patrum in a truma semaiserus. Or chayiv in truma semaiserus.
Correct. Midrabanan.
Or midrabanan?
Yeah, meaning what he means to say is that it's not treated as shvius, which is like the equivalent of Hefker. Instead, it's treated as Arotos Asmuchos, you know, which has the Dinim, at least on a Drabanan level.
Okay.
But it's a good question. Okay, so let's begin. We're going to pick up with what we were discussing last time. So the... again, let's just get back to the Gemara here just for a minute. One second. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara here on Zayin Amud Aleph, again, the background of the story we discussed already is that Rabbi Meir was viewed eating a yarek, a vegetable, in Beit Shan. And nothing, you know, criminal or even necessarily newsworthy about eating a vegetable in Beit Shan per se. But the idea was that it seems like he wasn't mafresh trumas amaisros. Since he wasn't mafresh trumas amaisros, so the implication was that he was potter trumas amaisros because Beit Shan was not part of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. That's the background of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says that Rebbe, who embraced this conclusion, was questioned by his relatives, who said to him that there's a Masorah in our family that Beit Shan is part of the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael, in which case he answered and said, that is the Masorah in our family. But Mokom Enichu, Lehis God there, that when a Dayan or a qualified Talmud Chacham comes to a certain conclusion, even if that conclusion is at odds with legal precedent based on Mesorah, that if he's convinced and he has the proper integrity and the proper credentials and the proper authority, then basically he has every right and every obligation in a way to express his particular view. That's the Gemara. So then, commenting or examining the case, the Gemara says, and this is what we're in the middle of, and I want to continue with it. The Gemara here in Dav Zayin Amud Aleph asks the question, Umi ika laman da amar de Beit Shan lav me'eretz Yisrael hi? Is it really true? Can anybody think that Beit Shan was not included in the geography of Eretz Yisrael? Baksiv, Pasuk says, Velo horish min hashed, Beit Shan, the et binoseha. Rashi, you know, explains, Elohi nicham lamas oved v'yoshvim b'neim. Point is that it was part of the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, even if it was treated in a certain way. V'tanoch v'et binoseha. So it seems clear that Beit Shan is part of the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yehoshua. So the Gemara explains, Ishtamitite hod amrav Shimon ben Eliakim, Yishum Rav Elazar ben Pidas. This is true, but it doesn't constitute the basis of a question because you're forgetting about the point that was made by Rav Elazar ben Pidas, right? And that is Shamar Mishum Abelazar ben Shemua, sorry, that Harbe Krochim Kivshu Olam Mitzrayim Velo kivshum ole babel. There were many lands that were conquered in the time of Yoshua that were not reconquered in the time of Ezra. Bekasavar kedushah rishonu kidshah l'shaita velo kidshah l'yasid lavo. The assumption here is that the original status of kedusha that devolved upon Beit Shan based on kibush Yoshua, that was not enduring, that was not permanent, and therefore what becomes historically halachically relevant is not what took place in the time of Yoshua, but the reality in the time of Ezra, because that's the kedusha which is binding, and consequently v'nicham kedesh yismchu aleihem aniyim b'shvius. There was an intentional decision made not to resettle Beit Shan, but rather to leave it outside of the boundaries of the second Kedusha Sa'aretz. And the reason for that was Kedei Shiyismichu Aniyim B'Shvi'etz. So that the Ptur, this is what you asked me about a minute ago, and the Rambam, Rashi addresses it as well. If you look at this wrong Rashi, we'll just look at it for a minute. So Rashi mentions two things. Number one, something that the Gemara doesn't say explicitly, but that is implicit, and that is that if Kedusha Rishona was Betela, but Kedusha Shnia was Kitchel Shaitava Kitchel Yasid Lavo, and therefore its boundaries remain relevant even after the second Korban. You might have said, fine, the first kibush of Yehoshua was impermanent, meaning it was wiped out, it was nullified by the Korban. But how do you know the same thing wasn't true about Kedushas Ezra, right? So that's one thing Rashi points out. Now, obviously, this Gemara thinks that Kedusha Shnia Kitsha L'Shaita V'Kitsha L'Asid Lavo. But before that, he also discusses what the issue is. So Harbei Krachim Kivshum Olam Mitzrayim, the Rashi. Look at that for a minute. V'Kidshum B'Kedusha Sa'aretz. At the time of Yoshua, the larger geographic boundaries of the Kibush were invested with Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. V'lo Kivshum Olam Bavel L'Kadshum B'Shnia. But in the second, what the Gemara calls kibush, we'll discuss that in a minute, of Ezra, you don't have that impact, right? Because it wasn't included. L'kachlo kivshum, the kasavri, the reason that they didn't in this particular case, because they held that hold v'hutru, d'kedusha rishona b'tela, meaning there's no reason that you have to reinvest this particular area in the end of the day, because the Kedusha was completely neutralized, the Kedusha's karka was neutralized after the first Korban. The Chikitcha Yoshua L'Shaita Kitcha V'lo L'Yasid Lavo, Kishagola B'mei Nebuchadnezzar, when they were exiled in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, V'lo Ratzo L'Hachzir, a Kedushasa, they decided not to reinvest Kedusha in that particular area, Kedei She Mutar L'Achrosh V'Lizroa Shom B'Shvi'es. So that the Isurim of Shvius, right, would not apply in that land. She'ena heges b'chutz laretz, v'yis b'chol em aniyim, and therefore the aniyim would able to rely on those, that produce, lital leket shikho peyom aysir aniyim Beit Shan mehen oysa. Beit Shan was part of that. So again, in order to make available to the aniyim the, we could call it the welfare system of Klal Yisrael, namely Ma'aser Ani, Leket, and Shikha, and Peya, right? So they didn't want there to be the Ptur of Shvius, kind of made the Ptur Hefker, and as a result, this was the decision that was made. Okay. Then Rashi goes on to say, the Osan Shekidshu, the second Kedusha of Ezra, whatever was included, whatever cities were included in that, Hein lo batla b'churban sheni, they were not nullified by the second churban. The first two Yerushas they have. Batla Yerusha Rishona, Vindikres Shnia Yerusha, of the Yerusha Shlishis, Elahem Shashnia, Lo Pascha. The second Yerusha was not nullified, and therefore it continues. Therefore, there's no need for Yerusha Shlishis on these areas. Hilkuk Mime Rebbe, Nagu, Iser, Ba'aretz. And for this reason, in the time of Rebbe, even though it was the post second Churban, nonetheless, you had you still had Kedushas Ezra, because Kedusha Shnia was Kidsha Li'asid Lavo. So this is the Gemara that we were discussing last week. So the question that we discussed was, we noted first that the Rambam also paskins this way, that the Rambam Menuchas Beis HaBechira, explaining Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas HaMikdash, and why they are Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha Li'asid Lavo, that once Yerushalayim and the Mikdash were given Kedushas Mikdash for Yerushalayim, that was permanent. There the Rambam explains that the circumstances were unusual, and that is that it wasn't the Kedusha of Karka Eretz Yisrael L'Mitzvoseha, it was the Kedusha specifically for the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. And the Rambam says that depends on the presence of the Shechina, that's Kedusha Sashechina, who Kedusha Sashechina Eina Betela. Masha Einkein, says the Rambam, when it comes to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael L'Mitzvoseha, we can look at again the Rambam very quickly. This is Perek Vav Hichos Beis HaBechira Halacha Tez Zayin, right? Where the Rambam says, V'lama ni'omer b'mikdash, is on page 1 of the Rambam Kol Masechta we gave out last week. Lama ni'omer b'mikdash v'yushalayim kedusha rishona kitcha la'asid lavo. Why, when it comes to mikdash and Yerushalayim, is the kedusha permanent? V'mikdusha shar Eretz Yisrael, and yet when it comes to the rest of Eretz Yisrael, l'inan shviyas, maestros, the keyotzabam, lo kitcha la'asid lavo. There, it wasn't permanent. It's a beautiful explanation of the Rambam. As far as we know, it's his explanation. Omer, and that's why the Pasuk says, I will destroy your Mikdash. Even when they are in ruins, even then there is Kedushas HaMakom. But when it comes to the obligation of Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvah Satluyos, Shvius and Maestros, Kibush Rabim, the reason for it was Kibush Rabim, the Kim Shenilkacha Eretz Miyadeyam, this is the Chiddush of the Rambam. Once the land was taken away, so not so far, but in a second, Batala Kibush V'Niftara Minatora Mimaestros, Umishvias, then that canceled the Kedusha, because Kibush creates an anti-Kibush, otherwise known as Churban, undoes it. Then the Rambam is a very strong term here, which he doesn't fully mean, as we'll explain, Shaharei Eina Min Eretz Yisrael. It makes it sound as if that the period after the first Churban, before the Kedusha of Ezra, or with respect to the lands which were not reinvested with Kedushas Haaretz in the time of Ezra, that these lands no longer have a status of Eretz Yisrael at all. We'll try to show very briefly soon that that is, particularly for the Rambam, not exactly the case. So what he means apparently here, even though the language is way too strong, is that there's no shame, there's no status of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Kedushas HaKarka. Okay, but it doesn't mean that we no longer designate or call this Makom Eretz Yisrael. I'll tell you why I say that in just a minute. But either way, it's a very strong language that he uses. But then comes the important part, because this is the question. All Mefarshim, many Mefarshim were troubled by the din that is implicit in this Gemara, that is explicit in Rashi and in the Rambam. And that is, why is it that Kedusha Shnia is Eina Betela, the Ezra, and Kedusha Rishona of Yehoshua was Batel? If anything, it seems counterintuitive. The first kibush was done in a much greater geographical hekev. You know, there was connected to Mycenaeism, you know, wars, conquering, sovereignty. Whereas in the time of Ezra, even though the Gemara calls it, and this is part of the problem, the Gemara calls, you know, Harbe Krochim Kivshu Ole Mitzrayim Velo Kivshu Ole Bavel. So it sounds like we're talking about kibush in both cases, but historically we know this was not the case, and that in the time of Ezra, they settled the land, they were given permission from the Persian king, and they didn't have full sovereignty, and you know, not the majority, a minority of Klal Yisrael were involved in this act of resettlement. And the question is, so on what basis is the second Kedusha more enduring than the first? The first was geographically more expansive. It was, in terms of sovereignty, far more effective. Again, the Ribbono Shel Olam played a more obvious role, you know, in that one than in the second one. So if anything, one would think that they're, you know, both temporary, both are overridden by Churban. If anything, and you had to choose, one would have thought that the staying power of Kibbutz Yehoshua would have been greater than that of Ezra. And yet, implicit in this Gemara, and explicit, as I say, in Rashi and the Rambam, is that this is not the case. And the question is why. So the Rambam, and this is a good example of what I mentioned last week, and that is, you know, we're so reliant, you know, we're so impacted by the Rambam. He so changed, you know, the halachic world, you know, that we sometimes don't appreciate, you know, his contributions because they are so pervasive, so impactful, and so monumental. You know, he, like Rashi, there are a few others like that as well, had such an impact on the way that we think about so many different ideas and concepts that we no longer attribute or recognize or credit him, meaning the Rambam, for some of his most novel doctrines, because we just, you know, we're aware of them and we just assume that everybody holds that way. So that's the mark of influence of a great man. But there's a little bit of irony and sometimes a little bit of injustice, you know, in that irony. And that is that sometimes the great, you know, contributors don't get the credit that they deserve for the innovations, you know, that they are responsible for because of their impact. So anyways, that's there are many examples of that. This is a good example of it. So the Rambam ever so subtly, right, took what the language of the Gemara, which historically is problematic and conceptually raises this question, you know, one kibush, you know, is as good as the other. Why is one permanent and the other, the effect of one permanent, the other temporary? Moreover, that was a bigger kibush. That was, there was more sovereignty. There was more land. If anything, you would think that, you know, if a choice needs to be made, that the first one was more permanent than the second. But the Rambam, you know, basically tells us that the second kibush, I'm sorry, what the Gemara calls the second kibush wasn't a kibush at all. It was chazaka. Kivin sh'ala Ezra v'kidsha, lo kidsha v'kidush ela b'chazaka, shechziku ba, he, you know, presided not over a kibush, but over a resettlement of the land. The people who, you know, invested, you know, their emotions and their money, you know, in order to live in the land, to live in a land in a situation where their sovereignty was kind of questionable, because again, there were, you know, overlords to their sovereignty. So nonetheless, therefore, anything that was part of that second Kedusha, who Mekudesh Hayom, continues to be sanctified down to our day, even though, again, there was Korban and we were exiled, the land was taken away, nonetheless, V'chayi B'shvius of Maestros, Alader Shabyarnu, B'hilchos Trumo. So that is the Rambam. So the question is, and that's the question of the, if you look at the Kesef Mishnah, this is not the first Kesef Mishnah, but the next entry, the second Kesef Mishnah, and go to the second line, U'mikomoko masha kosav rabbeinu, avuchi of ha'aretz b'shvias of ma'isros, hene ele b'pneishu kibush rabin, v'kimin shenilkacha ha'aretz mideyem batal ha'kibush, v'kimin shala ezra v'kitcha lo kitcha b'kibush, ele b'chazaka shech zikuba. The Kesef Mishnah commenting on this chiddush of the Rambam says, "Eini yodea ma koach chazaka gadol mikoach kibush." I don't know why chazaka should be more powerful and more enduring than kibush. V'lamalo nomar bechazaka gamkein kishenilkacha aretz miadenu but lechazaka. Why not apply the same logic? Just say that once they were expelled from the land, or once they were no longer in control of it, right, then the Kedusha is batal. Batal Chazaka. That's question number one. Why is Chazaka better than Kibush? Question number two, V'suba Rishona Sheniskadja B'Kibush, V'chiloha Yasham Chazaka? When Yoshua conquered the land, he conquered it in a military manner. There's a very interesting Malbim in the Parshas that we're reading now, keeps repeating it in Shlach and in Pinchas and talking about Moshe Rabbeinu not going into Eretz Yisrael. It's based on the Medrash, you know, that if Moshe Rabbeinu had led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it would have been, you know, a Maisa Nais. There wouldn't have been a war. And, you know, Klal Yisrael's connection to Eretz Yisrael would have been permanent, because it would have been all Yedei Nes. That's the contention of the Malbim. But because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, and Yehoshua did, it was Kibush Mulchama, and since it was Kibush Mulchama, right, it was subject to Bitol al Yedei Achorban. Okay, either way, so the, but there was Kibush, and then after Kibush, they lived there. So there was Chazaka, there was Chaluka, right, there was, they partitioned, that we'll get to this soon, but they apportioned individual, you know, pieces to the Shvatim and then to the people in the Shvatim. So if that's the case, meaning, what are you trying to say? In the time of Ezra, there was no Kibush, there was only Chazaka. And that is superior than the time of Yoshua, where not only was there was Kibush and Chazaka. That's the two questions of the Kesef Mishnah. And they're very good questions. The Kesef Mishnah alludes to the fact that what the Rambam says here, he repeats also in Hilchos Trumos. And that is the case. So look here, just for a minute, in Hilchos Trumos, Rambam says, Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. Again, the language is very interesting, especially now that we know the Rambam's you know, perspective. So this is on the bottom, I think, but Bezev may have because he puts in the numbers. It's either the bottom of page one or the beginning of page two. I'm not sure which. Kol Shel Ziku Olim Mitzrayim V'Niskadish Kedusha Rishona. Right? Whatever Olim Mitzrayim. It's interesting, again, that, you know, the Gemara speaks about Kivshu, you know, Ole Mitzrayim, and Kivshu Ole Bavel. And then the Rambam, you know, mostly thinks kivshu ala mitzrayim and ezeku ala babel. But here, you know, almost playing into the hands of the Kesef Mishnah in Ochas Beis HaBechira, says kol shechziku. Of course, it's still accurate. You mean what do they, you know, where do they live? Kol shechziku after the kibush, but it strengthens it seemingly Kesef Mishnah's question. Kol shechziku ala mitzrayim in his kaddish knusha rishona kim shegalu. Once they were exiled, bitlu kedushasa. Sheketusha Rishona Leficha Hoysa. Here he says what he says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Mipnei HaKibush. The Kedusha was Mipnei HaKibush. Even though subsequently they lived there. Bilvad. By the way, the word Bilvad is also consistent with, but really kind of the, both of these are the implicit answer to the second question of the Kesef Mishnah. Right? There was Kazaka and Oli Mitzrayim, right? But the Kedusha was a result only of the second question of the Kesef Mishnah is very easy to answer. I wouldn't say very easy. We'll say easier to answer. Meaning the answer seems to be because what's important is not, the Kesef Mishnah knows this answer too. Let me say it this way. The Kesef Mishnah's question is based on the assumption that the de facto reality of Chazaka, I mean, the fact that you not only conquered something, but then you stick around and you live there, right? That, you know, is kind of a de facto additional method of being Makadish. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. But I think what the Rambam would answer is, that may be partially true, but in the end of the day, the kibush alone invested full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So the fact that there was Chazaka, right, at a point where Kedushas Eretz already, there's no additional Chizuk HaKibush, frankly, if the kibush accomplished 100% of the goal for what it was. Meaning the Chazaka isn't what brought them to the land, the kibush was. And the kibush was 100% successful. So that's implicit. It is kol shechziku ala mitzrayim. But lefi shehoysa mipnei kibush bilvad, it's very meduyak. It's almost like, you know, the Rambam is answering the Kesef Mishnah's question, basically. He's anticipating it and answering it. So anyways, kitcho l'shaita v'lo kitcho l'yasad lava. Kivin shalom b'nei agola v'hechziku, right, b'miksa sa'aretz. It was only miksa sa'aretz, but it was hichziku, right? And that was the initial act of kiddush. It wasn't that it was 100% kiddusha, and therefore kiddusha is done with, right? Or that, you know, the kiddusha of chizuk cannot be better than the foundation of kibush. Here, the entirety of the act of kiddush was done al yidei chazaka. That's the difference. Again, why that should matter in terms of korban, we'll get to in a minute, but certainly you can understand why in terms of what was mekadesh, there's a difference. Oh. So anyways, kim shal b'nei agolah v'chziku b'miktsas ha'aretz, kidshua kedusha shnia, right, ha'omedes li'olam, l'shaito l'asid lama. That was permanent. B'nichos ha'makomos, Shechziku Bahem Ala Mitzrayim, they decided even the ones that they could have been machzik for the sake of being Mekadesh, there are some that they intentionally left out. Velo Chziku Bahem Ala Bada, Kishahayu, Velo Patrum and Abtruma Vamaitzras, Midrabbanan, Kadesh Yism Chualeim Aniyim Bishvias, like we explained. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Hitir Beishan Meosana Makomo Shalok Sika Mawali Bavel. That, of course, is our Gemara in Chulin, which says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh accepted the view of Rabbi Meir that Beit Shan was not invested with Kedusha Zahar. That's our Gemara Chulin. Uhu Nimna Al Ashkelon Upatru Mina Maestros. Amr Avram says the Ravid, Lo hiti Rabbi Elamaiser Yarek, Upeir Sa'ilan Shehin Midrabanon, off the Eretz Yisrael. So the Ravid's objection here is to the Rambam's interpretation of our Gemara. Our Gemara says that Rabbi Meir ate a yerek in Beit Shan. But Maisa Yerek is only Drabanan. So even though the Gemara does say that it doesn't have Kedusha, right, Lo Ksikuba Ole Babel, or Lo Kivsha Ole Babel, does that mean that there's no Chiv Trumos Umaisros either? Or is there only Maisa Yerek? So basically, the Ravid says that in his opinion, Lohita Rebbe Ela Maisa Yerek. Yeah, Maisa Yerek is only always Drabanan, right? Uperis Ha'ilan. The Ravid himself, this is a big debate, what is Chayv Trumas Maisros Min HaTorah, and whether you can be B'chalik B'Trul gets us in a minute, between Trumas and Maisros. Now, those who think it's only Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzar, that they're the only things that are Chayv Trumas Maisros Doraisa. Others think that it extends also to Shivas Aminim, maybe to all Peros, but pretty much everybody agrees that Yerek is only a Dindrabanan. Ravid thinks that Peros HaIlan and Yerek both are Drabanan, and that when we're Matir, Beit Shan, we only meant, you know, with regard to these Dinam Drabanan, but the Dinam Daraisa, Midrabanan, would be Chayiv. In other words, Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzar, the Ravid in different places has different views. What is the Raisa? He has a tshuva about this, and he has the here the Ravid, in his parish, I believe in the Barazara. But he changed his mind at least three times. I'm sorry, the Kasav Shem also in speaks about this topic as well, very chudash. But yeah, so if you look at the Nosa Kalim here, look at the Kasav Mishnah, Manichos Trumos.
A Ravid, point of Ravid that you should be mafresh to the Rabbanon,
yeah,
in areas like Beit Shan. Why wasn't he afraid that people will be nichshal? Because then they will use the Rabbanon to take the Tumas Maisus on areas of a Deraisa, which is in part of Eretz Yisrael, is the Chuli of Deraisa, and it'll be very easy for people to mix up the Paris of Beit Shan.
That's true. Also for Aratzos, you know, Hasmuchos in general.
Yeah, there's a difference. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. And here he's making a din that the chayiv, it could be very...
Well, the Ravid isn't making it. The Ravid is just understanding that...
Right. That's how it was.
The Gemara, because you have to understand also that Rebbe, like we said when we read the Gemara, Rebbe was, you know, basically turning his back on, you know, the accepted psak, even the Mesorah of his own family. So the question is, how far did he go with that? The truth is that this isn't only the Ravid, it's also Balei Tosas. I mentioned this, we talked about the din of Enakadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takal Al Yadam. The big long Tosas on Vav Amud Beis quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying that this Yerek is actually a Yerek of Dmai. Not only is it Meister Yerek, which even in a Doraisa region is only Drabanan, but it's even less than that. It's a Chi of Dmai. But if it had been, you know, rather Meister Yerek, you know, a Yerek of Tevel, right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, they wouldn't have this chiyuv either. So obviously they knew how. And we have this in other things too. It's Nakovat, Shein and Nakov. I mean, you're quite right. It could be Michalik, and if Beit Shan is like, you know, a controversial geography, so I guess that's an additional challenge. You always have to weigh, you know, in this kind of takana, you always have to weigh, you know, the potential for michshal, like people confusing what's Doraisa, what's Drabanan, being, you know, possibly being mafresh min aptur alechiyu min achiyu alaptur, which is what you're asking about. You know, at the same time, the other side of the coin is that if we're dealing with kulas, you know, so in chabal achidusho, and you don't want to be makel too much necessarily, because that, it is, you know, practically indistinguishable. And then, you know, if you see people eating tevel doraisa, you know, then maybe they'll come to be eating tevel doraisa, you know, in one town over, you know, where where the din is daraisa. So it's always a trade off, basically. Okay. Anyways, that's
just one other point. Just sure. Is the historical fact of how we got Eretz Yisrael the second time to how we got Eretz Yisrael the first time have a relevance to the idea of a chazaka? Because here we were given in Eretz Yisrael, we were given it by the Persians.
I think I mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear. I came a little. I was down Marv.
Oh, yeah. Well, Marv's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
We look forward to the day when we can all daven it together.
So, what did you mention? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. That because
I mean that historically, they weren't Kovesh. They received, permission, from the from Koresh, Persian king, and impact on how you look at this whole question. I just was pointing out before that you might have thought, okay, so that means they had less sovereignty because they were only there, at the behest of the permission of the, the real, person who had bailus. So, but 100%, the reality of how that actually took place. That's why it's striking in a way. And I'm sure that caught the eye of the Rambam because the Gemara uses the expression of kivshu, krochim shekivshu Ezra. But I think the Rambam, was conceptually trying to solve the problem of, why is one more enduring and the other less enduring? B, just to the historical reality, read the Pesukim in Tanakh, it's perfectly clear that there was no kibush here. There was a matana, as you say, and a chazaka. So, yeah. We're just trying to figure out, so wasn't there also a chazaka in the time of Yoshua? That's the Kesef Mishnah's second question, which I suggested the Rambam was implicitly answering in the language in Trumos that we read before. And the bigger question, and that is, so why is it that chazaka, which instinctively you would think would be, less, not more than, especially when it's, somebody else's real bailus, that's superior. So that's what we're in the middle of discussing now. But 100%, the reality, the history of it is part of it. And I'll get back to that also just a little bit more in just a minute. Anyway, before we get to that, just to regarding this question of what is the hekef, let's say, of the p'tur in terms of chiyuv trumas ma'isros in Beit Shan. So it seems like there is a machlokas or the Reiter Tam in Tosis that I mentioned. There's the Ravid. The Kesedisha just points out number one is maybe Rambam just disagrees, and the Rambam thinks that that it affected even things that otherwise would be tevel daraisa. So that's number one. But number two is he suggests sheet of the Rambam in just a minute. But let me just read. I'll let the Kesef Mishnah speaks for himself. Kesef Mishnah chos trumas perek aleph, where he says because of Ravid, I'm Avram Lohit to Rebbe, etc. Kain Pirush Rashi, right? The Tama Midomrin Shal Yad Al Yedei She'achal Rabbi Meir Ola Yerek, a vegetable, Hitir Rebbe at Beit Shan, Mashma Lo Hitir Udikasa, means something else draw upon on. The Chain Yer Medivrei Tosas, Avar Rabbeinu Lo Mashma Lo Yehachi, says the Ram doesn't think it's true. Mishum Demi Pashta Delishna, if you just read the Gemara, it doesn't sound that way. Gemara says the Hitir Rebbe at Beit Shan, or doesn't make distinctions. It happened to have been a yerek. They saw him eating a yerek, right? But there's no evidence in the Gemara that yerek, is a substantive issue in this case. Obviously that's what some of the other Rishonim thought, including the Ravid. But they say no. That's this happens to be what he saw him eat. Mash mishakol hitir. But then he has another, which is going to lead us after a few more minutes into the final part of today's shir, that is Va'od Rabbeinu Azal Tamei. He says, really, the Rambam also holds that the only thing that is drabanan, I'm sorry, the only thing that is permitted in Beit Shan are things that are tevel drabanan. He doesn't say that, it doesn't sound that way. So he says he's ozel letame. He calls shasover shabizman hazeh af makom shekziko bo lebavel afilu bimei Ezra ena minat Torah. The kasa b'sof perek zeh tahashta av dogon tirosh v'yitzar af bekibush ole bavel enam ela midrabanan. V'lashayni la binam liyera kuperos. So here to the end, which we're going to get back to, the Rambam in the end of the parak, we'll read it in just a couple of minutes, is what I call drops the other shoe. Meaning, if you read Hilchos Beis HaBechira, which we, it's perfectly clear that the Rambam holds that Kedushas Ezra is Kitchel Shaita v'Kitchel Yasid Lavo. So that means the Trumas and Maestros and Shvius, Bizman Azeh, are Doraisa. If you look at the Rambam Hilchos Trumas Perek Aleph in the beginning, we already read Halacha Hey. Let's look at Halacha Vav for a minute also. Nimtza, this is on top of the page. Nimtza kola by page two. Nimtza kola olam linyan mitzvah satlias ba'aretz. Turns out that the whole world, in terms of mitzvah satlias ba'aretz, is divided up. Nechlekes legimo machlekos into three divisions: Eretz Yisrael, Syria. We're not going to discuss Syria tonight. The Chutz Laretz, the diaspora. The Eretz Yisrael nechlekes l'shnayim. There are two parts to Eretz Yisrael. Kol shosiku ole bavel chelak aleph, right? The part that hichziku ole bavel, that's the part that seemingly has the prominence bizman hazeh. The kol shosiku ole mitzrayim bilvad, right? And the parts that only, you know, were included in the original kibush. Here he says Echziko again, but chelik sheni, right? V'chutzarts also nechlek l'shishnayim, Eretz Mitzrayim v'shinar v'amun moav v'mitzas noagas v'hem v'divrei sofra v'nevi'im, shara ratzos ain't shemitzamaitzos noagas v'hem at all. So if you look at the Rambam, the impression that you get clearly in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Trumos, through Halacha Vav, at least, is that Trumos and Maestros, Bizman Hazeh, Baratzos Shechziku, Olei Bavel, is Minat Torah. End of story. However, if you look at Perek Aleph, Halacha Chavav, and this is the last halacha in Perek Aleph, and this is 20 halachos after the Rambam has left us with the impression, right, for the second time, Hilchos Beis HaBechira comes before Hilchos Trumos. So for the second time, the Rambam has left us with an unambiguous impression that Kedushas Ezra is Doraisa, Bizman Hazeh, Trumas Maestros, Shvius, Bizman Hazeh. So then, all of a sudden, in the last halacha, 20 halachos later, Hilchos Trumos, the Ram says, Truma Bizman Hazeh, Truma in Mar time, Afilu B'mokum Shechziku Ole Babel, even in the places Shechziku, again, which were settled by Ole Babel, the Afilu B'mei Ezra, this was true not only now, but even initially in the time of Ezra itself, Eina min haTorah, ela midivrayim. It's not only she'ein lecha truma shel Torah, ela be'eretz Yisrael b'vad. The only time you can have a chiyuv truma from Maestros truma Doraisa is in Eretz Yisrael, u'bizman shekol Yisrael sham, and in circumstances where all of Klal Yisrael are there. Shenemar kisavo, bias kolchem, kishahoye birusha rishona, ukamoshe nasidin lachzar, birusha shlishis. At the time of Kibush Yehoshua, you had bias kolchem, Klal Yisrael were there. And Mirz Hashem, Lasid Lavo, right, in the time of Yerusha Shlishis, you know, in Yomosa Mashiach, there'll be another kibush or chazaka or both, you know, of all of Klal Yisrael. Lokas Shahi Berusha Shnia, Shahisa Bimei Ezra, unlike the Yerusha Shnia, which took place in the times of Ezra, Shahisa Bias Miktsasan, it was only Bias Miktsasan, Ulefikach Lochiva Usamana Torah. And then he adds, V'chein Yirali, seems to me, whatever the Rambam says Yirali, the Rambam says that when he uses the expression Yirali, he doesn't have an explicit makar. Or there's mixed evidence, whatever it is. It's not compelling, but it's his strong conviction. Okay? I always like to point out that there are many, many, many more cases than the Rambam said, than when the Rambam uses the expression Yirali, where the question of questionable evidence applies. But the Rambam felt, just to, you know, to repeat what we've said many times, the Rambam understood every sugya in light of his global understanding of Shas and of Medrash Halacha and so on and so forth. And therefore, there were things where we may not think that there's a makar or that the logic or the makar is compelling, but the Rambam did, based on his broader, deeper, personal understanding. But the ones where he says v'chein yirali is when he's admitting that, you know, you could argue with him. It doesn't mean he believes it any less. He's just here telling you that his conclusion is based on, again, better understanding what he considers to be compelling textual or source evidence. So here he says, v'chein yirali, shehu adin b'maisros, shein chayavim b'zman hazalim b'divrayim. What I just said about trumos is true also about maisros. And here the Ravid again disagrees. The Ravid says, Omer Avram lo kivein l'halacha yafeh. The Rambam is incorrect. So kaimalon Rabbi Yochanan. Omer bivam, also get that in a few minutes. Trumos b'zman hazed d'oraisa. We pass in Trumos b'zman hazed d'oraisa. Says the Ravid, if you read Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos through Halacha Vav, and he could have added, and certainly if you also read Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it seems like the Rambam himself says it's Doraisa. It's true that it's only Drabanan, that's regarding Chala, because there the Gemara says explicitly, Factor B.S. Koch. I'll read that Gemara inside in just a minute. So basically, the Rambam does something very controversial and very intriguing, right? He gives a very strong impression that Trumas Bizman Azeh, based on Kedushas Ezra, is Doraisa. And then in the last halacha in Perek Aleph Chumos, he basically drops the other, the time, you know, the bombshell, I guess, and that is that that's not true. That Trumas Bizman Ezra, even Truma Bizman Ezra was only Drabanan, and even Maestros really that they're Drabanan. Okay, we'll get back to this Rambam in just a couple of minutes. But based on this Rambam, the Kesem Mishnah says, if this Rambam is true, so maybe what the Rambam says about Beit Shan is really not any different than the Ravid. The Ravid said that Beit Shan, right, is there's no Tevel, right, only for Tevel Drabanan, Maisa Yerek, because that's only Drabanan. Or maybe Yerek and Peros, according to that view, that Peros are also only Drabanan. But Dagan, Tirus, V'Yitzar, that would be a different matter entirely. So the first view of the Kesem Mishnah is in Achanami. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam thinks that the din of Beit Shan applies across the board, even to Dagan, Tirus, V'Yitzar, or even to Peros, if that's Doraisa. Then the second day of the Kesem Mishnah is, no, the Rambam is just L'shitaso. According to the Rambam, Dagan, Tirus, V'Yitzar in the time of Ezra was only Drabanan. onto Maisa Yarek. So if Maisa Yarek is Mutter B'Beit Shan, then Dogen Tirish V'Yitzar is also Mutter B'Beit Shan. That it isn't so simple at all. In addition to what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, which is how to understand the Rambam Shita, but even the distinction, even the idea that just because if Dogen Tirish V'Yitzar is Drabanan, that it means, or that it's equivalent to Maisa Yarek, that's not there. You know, we encounter in many circumstances that there are levels of Drabanan, and that the Drabanan of, you know, that is based on Kein Daraisa is a much stronger Drabanan, not so easily dismissed. So
Arav, a side question based on the Rambam. With Chasdei Hashem, Bizman Hazeh, tremendous Chesed Hashem, that we almost have Rov Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, we'll get to it.
Some time where we see that right in front of our eyes. Can that, does that change the halacha? Will that change the halacha?
So we'll get to the final answer, but I'll tell you, you know, where what the issue revolves around.
Probably the Rambam never envisioned it, if I could modestly say this, but we didn't think we'd see such Chasdei Hashem before Mashiach. I mean, it's tremendous what we're seeing now.
No, I'll explain, but I'm going to explain it a couple of minutes. And whether you accept Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam and of Bias Kolcha. And whether, I'll just tell you the facts, and then I'll explain a little more later. The question is whether the Bias Kolcha that the Rambam describes, you know, for Chala and then to Truma, to Maestros, did that have to be present at the beginning of the or can it apply at any point in history? For example, the Din of Yovel, Koleha, Ryan points out that the Din of Yovel, Koleha, depends on the Yovel, right? So as you point out, I mean, in terms of the population in Eretz Yisrael, you know, which is certainly more direction, but Kol Yashvei doesn't mean every Jew in the world. What exactly it does mean is a discussion. It's another, not for now, but for another time. But Kol Yashvei Aleha of Yovel, to use Reb Chaim's terminology, depends on the, you know, on the Kiyum HaYovel, basically. You know, one Yovel is not the same as the other. So, but whenever you have it, you'll have it. Reb Chaim thought, I'll explain where he got it from in a minute, that Olchem depended on the initiation of the Kedusha. It's not a Tnai, the application of the Kedusha, but it has to do with how the Kedusha was engendered to begin with. So according to Reb Chaim, Bias Kolchem for Trumos and Maisros, unlike Kol Yashvei Aleha of Yovel, right, cannot be supplied after the initial was generated. But also, the Ritva seems to disagree in against Reb Chaim. Expand a little more what that might mean. So I think that's what it depends on. But for Yovel, certainly that could be the case. Okay. So that's the Kesef Mishnah regarding Beit Shan. So getting back to the main question for a minute, I want to discuss that quickly, and then I want to go back to Bias Kolchem in the little time that we have left. So why is it that Chazaka seems to be superior to Kibbutz? We've explained the second answer, the second question of the Kesef Mishnah, which is why it is that the chazak of Yeshua doesn't count. Kesef Mishnah thought it should count because, you know, even if you didn't need it, it's hello, and they're on a de facto level or a mekade level, so you have a strengthened yeshiva. Well, why is it gara? That's which is exactly his words. Lamagara, right? Why is Chazaka, in addition to Kibush, what is it? Why is it Gara Mechazaka? That's a Kesem Mishnah. But I think the Rambam, in his language and in general, is trying to say no. Kibbutz applied the full Kedusha. And, moreover, the combination of Kibbutz and Chazakah doesn't really work. We don't look at it as if it's independent. It doesn't really reinforce. It might have, but it doesn't. It isn't. And therefore, the Kedusha, all the basket of the Kedusha, is, you know, dependent on the Kibbutz. That's the second question. What about the first question? Why is Chazakah stronger? It seems like intuitively we would think that it's weaker. As I say, you got a gift, you know, there was a greater sovereign, you know, how can you compare that to the Muhammad led by Yehoshua, where it was really a conquest? So what I said last week, I just wanted to elaborate this for another minute, that there can be several answers to this question. Again, the Radvaz answers, I think we read it last week, that that basically it was intentional not to invest full Kedusha in the time of Yehoshua because of Kedeshius Mechoaniyim Beshvius down the road. The Radvaz here in Hilchos Trumos says, one second. I think it's on page 3. Just give me a minute. Yeah, it's on page 3. No, not finding it. Must be back on page 2. Just one second. Yeah, sorry. This is the one on page 2. Is it still on page 2 in yours? The one right after the Kesef Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Trumos? Radvaz says the following. It's either bottom of page 2, which it is in mine, or top of page 3. Vim Tomar, Kivichin is Scotch.
Number 30.
What is it? Line 30? Okay, great. Thank you. Vim Tomar, Kivichin is Scotch, Kedusha Shabbat, Lehechan Alcha. I mean, once it was Kedusha Sa'aret, so what do you mean it was overridden by the Chorban? What does that mean? Rabbeinu Kosov says the Radvaz, Lefi Sha'osam Epnei HaKibush Bilvad, Kitchel Shaita V'lo La'asid Lavo. That's the language of the Rambam. But the Radvaz is a radical understanding of what those words mean. At least I think it's radical. V'nir L'daito, says the Radvaz, what he means is, Lefi Shalo Kitchua B'peh, Elabi Me'ezra Kitchu B'peh. So instead of the difference between Kibush and Chazakah, and especially where Chazakah is kind of a de facto, meaning that's the reality of living there, you know, the Radvaz thinks that the Chazakah is Kiddush Bepeh. You know, like being Makdish a Korban. Or like being Mosif, you know, to the Azara and to Yerushalayim. There's an element of Kiddush Peh. He thinks that's a pshat in Chazakah. I think it's very mechudash to say that's what it means in the Rambam. But that's what he says. So he basically says Kedushas Peh, which is a more formal Kedusha, is stronger than Kedushas Kibush. And then the question is, well, then why do they go for an inferior Kedusha? That's to the question, the Radvaz is saying in Achanami. Meaning why, you know, in what way is Chazakah superior to Kibush? The answer is in Achanami it is. The reason that it is able to endure is because it's stronger. But to make it stronger, he kind of reinterpreted the Rambam, so it's no longer Chazakah the way we understand it, or at least the way I understand it. It is Kedushas Peh. So then the question becomes, so why in the time of Yehoshua didn't they apply Kedushas Peh? So he says an amazing thing. He says, "Vaday neish lishal lama lo kidsha Yoshua vepevetiyek kedusha saliolam." Neishlamar sheyoder hayash asila lecharev. I guess he was a navi. He was a navi, so he knew that eventually there would be a korban. Vimikadsha kedusha saliolam lo tia takana laniim b'shvius. You know, he didn't know what the economic situation was going to be post korban. So they wanted to be, I guess, flexible. That's very remarkable. And leave things open. So the Radvaz has a triple Kiddush, if you want. Kedushas Peh is stronger than Kibush. Chazaka means Kedushas Peh. Why did they do Kedushas Peh in the time of Yoshua? Because the din of Shiyas Mechwaniyim Bishmita, which I labored hard to explain last week as an internal matter. I was trying to explain that the tzedakah here isn't a separate din, but it's part of mitzvah atlis ba'aretz and especially shviyas, etc. So what the Radvaz is saying is that this possibility was anticipated by Yoshua. Just have to imagine it. In our Gemara, it's already a big chiddush. At the time of Ezra, they could have expanded the boundaries of Kedushas Karka, but they chose not to. Shema Yismuchu Aniyim, Kedesh Yismuchu Aniyim, Mishvias. That's a big chiddush. I mean, it's at least Baaretz and Kedushas Karka is a very desirable spiritual framework. But imagine if you're in the time of Yoshua, and you're conquering everything, and there's no problem of, apparently there's no problem, Kadesh Yismuchu Aniyim B'Shvias at that point, and you're wondering whether or not you should leave it at Kibush, or you should impose Kedushas Peh. And you're thinking, well, I don't know what it'll be after the Korban, you know, then there might be an economic problem, and I don't want to eliminate, you know, my option of helping the Aniyim, Kadesh Yismuchu Aniyim B'Shvias. I mean, this factor of the economic thing is so on the mind of Yehoshua that it limits him hundreds of years in advance in the initial, you know, to make the whole, it's better to make Kedushas Haaretz temporary than exclude the option of Kadesh Yismuchu Aniyim B'Shvias. Again, you don't have to think that the Radvaz is pshat and the Rambam is pshat and the Rambam. I happen to think it's very bedochat. But the Radvaz, you know, Kedaya Radvaz, you know, to analyze his view and his understanding. It's very remarkable how, in the Radvaz's view, how much empathy, how much the question of the plight of Aniyim is playing in this whole cheshbon.
Why didn't Yeshua do Kedushas Peh and just limit the boundaries so that he could Kedesh Yismuchu Aniyim like Ezra did later? And make it permanent? It doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, I guess the answer to that is, you know, that he was doing Kibush, and there's a dialectic here. On the one hand, you don't want to tie your hands for what might be an economic problem and, you know, in half a millennia. But on the other hand, the situation in the present, you know, allows for extending, you know, Kedushas Haaretz to all of Eretz Yisrael. I imagine he would say,
I don't like it.
What?
I don't like it.
No, I understand. I said, I don't think it's a pshat. I just don't think the word chazaka means Kedushas Peh. And I'm with you in that. But what I'm trying to explain is, forget about the Rambam for the moment. I'm trying to understand the mentality of the Radvaz. What does the Radvaz think about these values? Radvaz is also one of the Chachmei Masorah. I don't think it's likely that this is pshat in the Rambam. But the fact that the Radvaz could think it tells you a lot about how he looks at tzedakah and kedushas karka and so on. That's not a question of liking it or not like it, but it's a question of, you know, what did this great member of the elite club, you know, of Chachmei HaMesora, what did he think about these questions? That remains a fascinating issue. Like if you could, you know, interview the Radvaz, you know, implicit in what he's explaining, you know, these are the perspectives that are emerging, and they're quite remarkable. They're inspiring.
Yeah, but he could have made a takana that everybody should give ma'aser to the aniyim, so they don't have to, you know.
I hear. I don't know. Okay. That I don't know. I mean, again, you always could. I'm more interested in reconstructing what he says than in post, speculating about alternatives. But I hear. Okay. So the other possibility, of course, is what we were discussing last week. And that is, I'll just repeat very quickly because I want to get to the Eskolchem. And that is maybe the idea, once you assume my, and this I think is pretty clear, the Rambam's response or refutation of the second question of the Kesem Mishnah, namely, in the time of Yoshua, you don't have Kibush and Chazakah, because the Kibush accomplished the full Kedusha. And Chazakah isn't capable of generating a second standalone or even reinforcing the first once it's 100%. Again, you could have argued, obviously the Kesem Mishnah doesn't think this. But the question is, going back to the first question, so why is Chazakah superior, stronger than Kibush? Again, for the Radvaz, the answer is, if it wasn't stronger, it wouldn't work permanently. I think for the Rambam, the likely answer is that the question isn't the strength of it, the question is the character of it. So here, I think one could say several things. Number one is that just, you know, it's about the internal relationship between Kibush and Churban, or Kibush and Galus. You know, Kibush and Galus are a stira. And Chazakah, and at least say Churban at least, are not necessarily a stira. You know, if you conquer something and then you lose it, so it's as if you never had it. You know, but if you worked the land, invested in the land, lived in the land, had experiences in the land, you know, and then there was, you know, you lost sovereignty. It's not a stira necessarily. But I wanted to go further with that. I mentioned that the Rav suggested something else, and that is that maybe the Chazakah of Ezra, because it also focused on the Yerushalayim area, and Yerushalayim, of course, was Kitchel Yasid Lavo from the beginning, because it was Kedushas HaShchina, Ein HaShchina B'Teila. So that's one suggestion. But another suggestion could be what I was saying last time, and that is either the combination, but not the combination of Yoshua, the combination of Yoshua and Ezra. Meaning in the time of Yoshua, you had Kibush as a Mekadesh. And then in the time of Ezra, you had Chazakah as a Mekadesh. But based on Beitivka, V'hirbucha, Me'avosecha, the idea that the second Kedusha works off the first. Meaning if Kibush is in existence and it's 100% of the Mekadesh, so at that point the Chazakah doesn't add anything. Meaning the Chazakah in the time of Yoshua doesn't add to the Kedusha because it's already 100%. And it's based on a different principle. But the Kibush of Yoshua, which was nullified, wasn't maybe it wasn't completely nullified. It was nullified in terms of its effectiveness, right? But then when there was the Chazakah of Ezra, it wasn't just the Chazakah of Ezra. It was the Chazakah of Ezra on top of the Kibush of Yoshua. That's what I was suggesting about Ve'itivcha, V'hirbucha Me'avosecha. Or, and, the idea that Chazakah, and this is what I was referring to before, is based on Mesiras Nefesh. In a way, Chazakah is, in some respects, stronger when your sovereignty is even more questionable. or less secure. I'm not certain whether this is a legal fact or not, but it might be. Or it might be neutral or it might be wrong. But what I'm saying is, if we're measuring the Chibas Eretz Yisrael and the Mesiras Nefesh required, you know, to join Ezra's smaller population, you know, and to settle in a hostile environment where you don't have the military means, right, to, you know, to ensure safety, and you're still dependent upon the whim, you know, of other forces. So maybe in terms of, again, Chibas Haaretz, Mesiras Nefesh, in terms of that, it's a much stronger, much more unbreakable kind of a bond. And maybe that's the idea, that Chazaka really is, it's not just Chazaka and Kibush, that was the previous answer. And it's not Chazaka, you know, which is connected to Kedushas Yerushalayim. And it's not Chazaka of Kedushas Peh. It's Chazaka for the very reason that it looks weaker, it's really stronger. If you're measuring not so much control over the land, but the bond between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So that's my suggestion. I think the Rav says that in one place too. I have to check out again. But at least I'm embellishing it. If not, I think he does say that somewhere. I'll have to check the language again. But, so that would explain both answers of the Ketzer Mishnah. Right? And even more so, not just that there was 100%, once you had the Kibush, so you had 100%, and the Chazaka wasn't part of the Kedusha, it was after the Kedusha. In addition to that, you might also add that a Chazaka following Kibush is not the same kind of Chazaka with the same level of Mesiras Nefesh, right, that Klal Yisrael had to exhibit in the time of Ezra, Dafka, when there wasn't a Kibush. In that respect, that's a different take or view on what it is about the Chazaka, right, that's Mekadesh. Okay, having said that, so now I want to go back to the other point in the Rambam. Our time's almost up, let me just speak very quickly. So the Rambam, there's another problem in the Rambam, as we discussed, and that is twofold. Number one, the presentation problem. The Rambam was the master organizer, as we know. He doesn't need my accolades, you know. What the Rambam did in Yad HaChazaka is just astonishing. Right? He took the unruly Shas, which is massive, and not always organized impeccably, you know, for various reasons, because it revolves around Mishnayos and there were mnemonic elements and whatever, whatever the reason. And he brought to order, I wouldn't say to chaos, but put it this way, there's a lot of chiddush and a lot of mental energy in the Rambam's organizational structure. So of all systemizers, you know, and presenters, our expectations for the Rambam that he achieve, let's say, the highest, you know, standards, you know, of presentation and clarity and organization is well placed. It's not just like, you know, people like to say that there's not an extra word or everything is in its place. I mean, the Rambam, this is what he does. I mean, he reorganized everything. He created subcategories. He decided where to put certain things, etc. So for him, in Ilchus Beis HaBechira, to leave the unequivocal impression that there's a Chiv Trumas HaMaisos Manenu Doraisa since Ezra, and to say the same thing in the beginning of Ilchus Trumos, right? And then only 20 halachos later, in the last halach of the Perek, to drop the bombshell that Trumas and his opinion yearly Maisros are only Drabanan, Bizman Azeh, is shocking. The Radvaz actually does discuss this. The other Radvaz I was looking at, the one on The second one. Kivin Sh'olah B'nei Agola, Yerushalmi Shvias. So, basically, Ikel Meida, Kocha Da'oli Bavel Kidshua L'Shaito, L'Asad Lav, the second line. Vimkein Trumas Amayisra S'Nogu B'Bayi She'ni Min HaTorah. V'Rabbeinu Kasa B'Sofa Perek Sh'Nogu Ola Medrabanan. V'Binim B'Rios Kulchem. V'Bim Me'Ezra Lo Olu Klum. Kulam. V'Risi Misha Kasa V'Tloko Ila Kedusha S'Ezra. Kivin Sh'lo Ba'u. Kulam. L'Mafreya. Elamid Ivreya. I will call you Mea Bias, also I call Kidin Torah, Trumas and Mais or Shmit and Amoni Ovelas, call you Mitzap in Tamid Bibiyasan. I will Achar Churban, Nisyashu, Mibiyasam, Vinishar, Chiyuva Medivreim Levad, Bismanazez, Eudasarama. So there's this one suggestion that, you know, they had basically the whole epoch to come, and that would have been Mashlim. So it was Kedushas Haaretz Daraisa. It wasn't yet a chisaron of the absence of Bias Kolchem, and it was only chisaron l'mafreya. That's a view that he quotes. Okay, that's a fascinating perspective. It means that Bias Kolchem isn't required bizman initiation of the Kedusha. And one of the things I mentioned that Reb Chaim says, I was responding earlier to Dr. Maybrook. But obviously, this view doesn't hold that. But even more, they don't think it's a sine qua non at all. They think you can have Kedushas Haaretz Daraisa as long as there's a reasonable expectation that before the end of the epoch, there'll be Bias Kolchem. It's only when the epoch ended and there was no Bias Kolchem, then L'mafreya, or maybe Mekano Laba. He says L'mafreya in this shita that he's quoting. So that's very remarkable, this idea that you have an epoch, you know, for it all to happen, that you can be, and it isn't Durabanan until it's Doraisa and Doraisa L'mafreya. It's the opposite. It's Doraisa, because it's not yet a big enough chisaron until you know it was a chisaron, and then you lose it Mikanu Laba, and maybe you even lose it Lamafre. Fascinating idea. He says, V'enze Nachon Klau. Radvaz himself doesn't like it. Kiva Debinam Bias Kochem, V'Laba'u, says it has to be prospective. Hey, Chafshar Shiyu Nogim B'Trumas Amaisers Min HaTorah, U'mi Yamin Shiz Chalif Ben Ben Kodim Yosh L'Achar Yosh. He's saying, and practically what? Why would they expect that there'd be a Bias Kolchem? They already gave up in the 10 Shvatim. So no de Mekomam, Echu Nogim in HaTorah. How do they have the expectation? Okay, that's an interesting Ashkafic question, which you could answer, but it is a fascinating question. Panochom Bazesho, Ilo Kedusha Sezer L'chol Advarim, Shelo Ayutulum B'Bias Kolchem, Kigon Shmitin v'Yovlos, Bateri Choma, Bikurim, Kedusha Sirushalayim v'Mikdash, Avotrumas Amaitzros v'Chala, Zebi'inan Bias Kolchem, Af b'Me'ezra l'Nogel v'Devrayim, V'Ashta Nicha Sagas Arayved, Shekosav lo Hiti Rebbe l'Maiser Yerek, U'Peiret Sa'ilon ol Shem Medrabanon, Afil Beretz Yisrael Rebbein and Savar, Shekol b'Me'ezra Medrabanon, Afil Dagan V'Shut, Tirosh V'Yitzo, is what we mentioned before. Ilka Kashihita Rebbe Beishana Kolitir, Shari Af Meretz Yisrael Yerim B'Drabanan. What the Kesef Mishnah said in his second answer, the Radvaz comes up with. So the point is that the Radvaz mentions one answer, which is fascinating, disagrees with it. His own answer is that the din of Bias Kolchem is limited to Chala, Trumos, and Maestros. But everything else having to do with Mitzvah Satlius Ba'aretz, that's Doraisa. The problem with that is, and by the way, that view of the Radvaz is also mostly the view of the Minchas Chinuch, Minchas Chinuch in a bunch of places, where he talks about Bikurim, where he talks about Lech Shikrupeya, always raises this question. According to the Rambam, right, does the Ptur, or whatever it is, of Bias Kochem, does that apply here or not? And typically, the Minchas Chinuch says, no, it's limited to Challah. It applies also to Trumas and Maestras, according to the Rambam, but it doesn't apply to anything else. Problem with that, or the problem with the Radvaz's conclusion as an answer to explain the Rambam, is that the Rambam Nichols Beis Abichira does mention Trumas and Maestros, and Nichols Trumas as well. So it is still misleading. He doesn't say that the Kedusha of Ezra is for everything, but he mentions Mita. Oh. So what is really going on? So just to contrast it with the Reb Chaim that I mentioned before, I'm going to have to stop in 1 minute. We'll have to take another couple of minutes just to finish this off for next time. I'll just give you the two perspectives very quickly, then later we'll elaborate. Again, the Gemara, in Ksuvis, just look at that for 1 minute, Talmud Bavli Mesach Ksuvis Chafei Omed Aleph?
22.
Yeah. This is on what, page 3?
Page 3, line 2.
Thank you. So, Kesavar Truma, the Gemara says, Kesavar Truma Bizman Zedra Abana. The Chala Doraisa. Gemara wants to know whether you can distinguish between Doraisa status of Chala and Truma. Gemara says, well, maybe Truma in our time is Drabanan, and Chala is Doraisa. Maskina Mitruma Drabanan, the Chala Doraisa. Ashkechinu Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Rabbanon. Tom Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Ashkechinu Ashkechinu Rabbanon Bebei Rav Yosu Vekamri. A filaman domar Truma Bezman is a Rabbanon. Even if Truma in our time is only Rabbanon, Chala Doraisa. Shaharei Zayin Kivshu Vzayin Chilku Nischaiva Bechala Velo Nischaiva Betruma. The fact is that during the 7 years, the 14 years of seven kibush and seven chalukah sa'aretz, there was no chiyuv trumas ma'aseres, and there was a chiyuv chala. Chiyuv chala began as soon as they entered in Eretz Yisrael, before the 14 years. What do we see? That you can be chayuv chala even when there's a ptur trumas ma'aseres. Right, Velonis Chayv Betruma at that time. So that's true. It's possible that even if you have a situation where Truma Bizman is Ezra Banan, Chala could be Doraisa, just like we find in those 14 years. Vamina Luana says, and I hold Adaraba, it's the opposite. I feel the Manama Truma Bizman is Doraisa, Chala Drabanan. Even if Truma in our time is Minatora, Chala is only Drabanan. It's Nina, the Tanya. Bivoachem ala aretz, he bivoachem yalkom yishin niklisulo, shnayim shloshim raglim. Maybe it means anybody coming in. Tamalomber bivoachem, bibias kulcham amarti, velo bibias miktaschem. Vichias kinu Ezra, lav kulu saluk. And when Ezra came in, right, he didn't have the majority with him. So this is the makar of the din, that in Chala, there's a ptur, or there's a hafkas, well, there's a ptur of Chala based on the lack of bias kochet. So the question of this Gemara is as follows. The Gemara is talking about Bizman Hazeh. Now, like Dr. Maybrook asked before, in the time of Ezra, there was only a minority. How do you know that won't change? And Baruch Hashem, it has changed. How can the Gemara be so certain that Chala is Drabanan because of lack of Bias Kulchem? So the Ritva actually says, Bivoachem, Bivias Kulchem, the next piece, V'vias kuch amarti v'lo bias miktaschem. V'chiv chalanei de lotoli b'kibush ha'aretz. Shreinogu ba ba'aretz kodem kibush v'chiluk. Shayruba b'yad Yisrael. V'komakom b'inan shuko Yisrael arubam ba'aretz. Right? You need, even though chala began, mizakul and chala begins earlier, but there's also chumr and chala, depending on what you call chula, chumr. There's also the other way in chala, that is, you need kol yisrael rubam ba'aretz. Kemo shayi b'zman kibush v'yeshiva. Chi askinu Ezra, lav kula salik. Hilkach af agav the chala noga min ha-Torah b'zman kibush v'chiluk, ein no heges achshav min ha-Torah. Kivin shenis ein rov yisrael alav. Afil aman damar t'rum ha-maisos noga min ha-Torah. Dekturush b'shon ha-kitshel yasad lavo. Lezeh ha-kasuv v'b'chal. So it's clear in the Ritva that the reason is because the fact is that there isn't Bias Kolka. But Reb Chaim understood the Gemara differently. Reb Chaim understood that the Gemara was saying that since there was no Bias Kolka in the time of Ezra, there can never be a Chiyuv Chala Daraisa based on Kedushas Ezra ever. Because everything depends on the initiation of the Kedusha. So Reb Chaim said, why should that be? Why is it that when it comes to Yovel, where there's a din of Kol Yoshvei Aleha, it's perfectly clear that every Yovel you have to do a census and figure it out. And if there's no Kol Yoshvei Aleha in one Yovel, but there isn't another Yovel, so you'll act accordingly. And yet when it comes to this Gemara about Challah being Drabanan, it sounds like it's written in stone. That, until Yerusha Shlishis, Chala's Drabanan. Why? There could be an increase in population. Meaning, it seems like, unlike Yovel, Bias Kulchem in Chala depends on the initiation of Kedushas Ha'aretz. Why should that be? So Reb Chaim thought, the reason is because Bias Kulchem is not a Ptur, and it's not an extraneous T'nai. It itself is part of the condition for Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, unlike Yovel, in Yovel there's a T'nai, and that is that you have to have Kol Yoshvei Aleha, but Yeshivas Kol Yisrael or Rov Yisrael is not part of the Mekadesh of Yovel. But when it comes to Chala and the Din of Bias Kolchem, Bias Kulchem isn't a Ptur or Afka or a T'nai. Bias Kulchem is a condition in Kedushas Ha'aretz itself. The Beis Halevi, his father, implicitly did not hold this way, and we'll discuss that very briefly next week before we move on to another topic. And I want to elaborate this just a little bit more next week as well. But what I will say is just one thing just going forward, that in a certain sense, this idea of Reb Chaim, that Bias Kulchem is a T'nai in Kedushas Ha'aretz itself, not just a condition in Chiyuv and Ptur, is more of a part of what Reb Chaim thought was that it applies to Shemitah. The language of the Torah also, Vayaki Savo El Ha'aretz, even though there's no explicit makar that applies Bias Kulchem to Shvius, especially for the Rambam, Reb Chaim thought that likely there is such a requirement because it's a T'nai in the Kedushas Karka, not just the Chiyuv and Ptur issue. So I want to discuss that a little more next time, the Heter Mechira implications of that. But I want to leave you on the following note, and that is, I was suggesting in particular that the reason Chazaka may be superior to Kibush, because it has to do with the Mesiris Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, the relationship between the Karka and the nation. After all, the Eretz Yisrael talked about this in terms of Kadesh Yismuchu Aniyim B'Shvius being an internal din, an insider din. It's all about the destiny of the Jewish people. And therefore, the Chazakah, the Mesiris Nefesh of it, even in the most, because the conditions were less secure and more difficult, right, was part of the Mekadesh. But by the same time, there was Kulchem, that the majority of Klal Yisrael capitalized on this opportunity, at least as Reb Chaim understood it, that inhibited for certain dinim, not just their chiyuv, but the itself. So you have two opposite expressions. On the one hand, you have the minority devotion, their chibas ha'aretz, which generated an enduring kedusha even more than kibush. At the same time, the failure of the majority to capitalize on the spiritual opportunity undermined significant aspect of Kedusha's Kark. So I want to talk a little bit more about this and some issues connected to it, and then speak a little more about Rambam, who what happened to first Kibush, next time to finish up, and then we'll move on, either on this daf, or maybe we'll skip the daf ches. People are still around and want the shiur to continue for now?
Shkoyach, of course.
Okay, well, as long as we can accommodate.
Rav, can I just ask you a quick question? Avraham Avinu, what was the purpose of Avraham Avinu's chazaka in all that we're discussing? What was his effect in the Jewish history?
Yeah, we'll talk about that also. I mean, the Kafter of Ferach, in a famous piece, I'm going to discuss it a little bit next week, it's quoted in the Kesem Mishnah of Sanhedrin, Perek Dalad that we have here on the Mar Mekomos, thinks that the Eretz Yisrael Shenitna La'avos already established, you know, kind of Chibas Ha'aretz, or Shame Eretz Yisrael. And that for certain dinim, that already, you know, triggered the initiation of that. Kavura, the special din of Kavura, Nevua.
Avram did a chazaka. Avram Avinu did a chazaka.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's chazaka, but it wasn't everlasting, unless it was...
Right, but so that's one of the things I'm going to try. That's sort of kind of what I meant. It didn't trigger legabe mitzvah atluyas ba'aretz. But what the Rav calls Shame Eretz Yisrael, and what the Ramban calls Chibas Eretz Yisrael. There are certain dinim that have to do with the Mokom. I made allusion to when I said that the Rambam, when he says that post-Kibush, that, I'm sorry, the Churban knocked out the Kibush and made the lands Ki'ilu Eina Me'Eretz Yisrael, that was very extreme. That's what I meant. Because the evidence of the Rambam is that in terms of having a status of Makom Eretz Yisrael, that continued from the Kibush. And with getting to your question, it may have begun already at the time of Avraham Avinu. So we'll talk a little more about that next week.
Go ahead.
Okay. Have a good week, everyone. Stay healthy. Well,
thank you.
To be continued.
Is there any speculation?
Thank you.
Rob, yeah. Is there any speculation that but from Moshe's inability to enter Eretz Yisrael, that Yahushua was necessarily, its chazaka was diminished?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think I said earlier that the Malbim has some roots in Chazal, but Malbim definitely takes it much further. The Malbim in these Parshios in Bamidbar says that if Moshe Rabbeinu had led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, the Dusha would have been permanent. Because it wouldn't have been Ayde Kibush, it would have been Ayde Nes. And because it was Ayde Yoshua, and it was through Kibush, so that's why it was Kitchel Shaita below Kitchel Yasudlava. So it's similar to what you're suggesting, really.
But of course, Moshe's inability, was not just based on the mate and the hitting of the rock. Of his inability to go to Eretz Yisrael, even from the time of the snap, Moshe questioned his entry into Eretz Yisrael.
Well, I mean, again, these are matters of, you know, great controversy. You know, Chazal have different views, you know, about what really is at root of Moshe Rabbeinu's not being. Was it that? How he responded initially, was it the Meraglim episode, was it the May Meriva episode, you know, was it all three, you know, right, I mean, there are different views.